Chaitanya Bhagavat Ki Jai, Vrindavan Das Thakur Ki Jai. So we're in Jagannath Puri. We're at the house of Advaitacharya. He's invited Lord Chaitanya to come for bhikshu, lunch, prasad. And we hear Lord Chaitanya has just finished his Sankhya Nam Grahan. He's finished completing a fixed number of names. And now it's as was predicted by, what happened was, it's very interesting, and now I remember this story. Advaitacharya, we heard that he had some hesitation and doubts because when Lord Chaitanya comes to some grihastha's house for prasad or bhoga, let's say, he always brings some sannyasis with him from Puri, and Brahmananda Bharati and others, Sarudamara, whoever was with him. And then Advaita was thinking, he had some trepidation. He was thinking, well, when Mahaprabhu comes to these other sannyasis, then he won't eat to his full satisfaction. He'll feel, you know, when you're alone, you can really enjoy. But if you're in an official situation, then maybe you control more. So Waitu was lamenting, because he was cooking himself, and he was saying, I made all these wonderful preparations. I just hope, he was praying, somehow an arrangement would be made by that Lord Chaitanya would come alone. Although he always went in a sangha. So it's interesting. We'll see what happens. The question is, does Lord Chaitanya show up alone at Advaitacharya's house, or does he come with the sannyasis? Because from Advaita's side, he has a whole meditation, a whole prayer. He's even revealed his mind to his wife, Sita Devi, and said, I'm thinking like this. I really hope the Lord somehow comes alone. He never does. He always comes with sannyasis. But I made such a wonderful feast. I want him to enjoy, because he's a supreme enjoyer. Lord Chaitanya is the Bhaktaram, is Krishna. So now, here's what happens. The Lord went to perform his noon duties after chanting his fixed number of rounds. Then ye sabha sannyasi prabhu sange bhikshu kare tanra sabha chalila madhyana karibhare. The sannyasis who generally took their meal along with Lord Chaitanya also went to perform their noon duties, madhyan. Hena kali maha jada brishti achambite arambila devaraja advaitara hitte. There was a brishti. Brishti means varshan, varsha, rain. However, somehow or other, at that time, Indra, the king of the demigods, the devaraj, he suddenly sent an intense shower of rain and strong winds for the satisfaction of Advaita. Well, this is the whole world is like that. One man's pleasure is another man's pain. So here it's other people in the village. Oh, it's raining. This is very bad. Advaitacharya is very, very good. And then he's seeing now what's going to happen. The plot thickens now. Inclement weather has appeared on the stage. Strong winds and how much of a storm it was? Shila Vrishti at Shila. You know, Shila means rocks. it's rock rain. Literally, Shila Vrishti means rock rain. Rock rain, Vrishti, Varshana, means hail stones. It's like they come from these little ice balls. Barf golis. Goli means round, and barf means ice. Hailstones began to fall everywhere. Shila Brishti Chaturdike Bhaje Anjanjana Asambhava Vatasa Vrishtira Nahi Simha. Everywhere hailstones were falling. The wind was blowing very fiercely and it rained without limit. Nahi Simha, no end. In all directions, Chaturdike. It's a heavy rainstorm in Puri, you can imagine. Sarvadik Andakara Haila Dulai Vasaya Jaitekeya Patta Nahi Pai. The pot. Everyone was blinded. They couldn't even find the path. All directions became so dark with dust in the air that the sannyasis could not find the way to their residences. So they went to do their noon duties, possibly bathe in Shweta Ganga, which is near Gambira, or to bathe in the Mahodadi, the ocean, Samudra, and then perform their anik, their mantra. But they went out from the Gambira, where they were with Lord Chaitanya, to do their noon duties. They were all together. Then there was such a heavy storm, they got lost. They couldn't find their way back to the Gambira. Hena jarawahi keha stira haite nari keha nahi jane kota laya jayakari. The wind was so forceful that no one could stand still. Well, that's powerful. You just, you know, the wind is blowing you down the street. And still, no one could understand what direction they were going. They were just being spun around like tops by the wind. Sabe jata shirweta karena randan tata matra haya alpa jada barishan. The area where Advaita was cooking, however, had only little bit of rain and little wind. There's too much wind, the fire goes out. He's probably cooking on wood and gober or cow dung. And rain, of course, put out the fires. Jatanyasi bikshakari prabhu samhati nahika udesha karo keva gela kati. The sannyasis who generally accompanied Gauranga Mahaprabhu got lost and no one knew where they went. His associates who were supposed to accompany him for lunch, they got scattered to the 10 directions, lost in the blinding darkness and the dust and hailstones falling everywhere. Eta shiadvaita singa kariya randan upaskari tulilena shiana vyanjan. Meanwhile, Shiadvaita singa, the lion-like Advaita, finished cooking and cleaned the spot where he placed the rice and vegetable preparations. Grita dhadi dugda sara navani pushtaka nanavira sharakara sandesha karalaka. And then the preparations are mentioned. Advaita sent, he set out on this cleaned area. Ghee, yogurt, milk, cream, butter, pishtaka, a sweet made with rice, varieties of sweet sandesh and bananas. Obviously, these are all the childhood favorites of Nimai Pandit, which was mentioned earlier. All his favorite, he was always fond of sandesh and bananas. So obviously, his best friend was the modaka. The modaka, there was one sweet maker who he used to get his sandesh from, and one banana salesman named Madhumango. Kolavesha Sridhar is the Madhumango Batu. So he got his bananas from him, and then this one sweet wala that came to Puri one time to meet Lord Chaitanya. I forget his name just now. But when he went there, he introduced, he said, oh, you remember? Well, Modak, actually Modak in Sanskrit means a toffee. It means a lozenge, a sweet lozenge. It's explained in the Brajavati Chintamani that Nanda Maharaj used to prepare Modaka, and he used to get on a bullock cart with Krishna Balaram, and they go out to the jungles. Because even 500 years ago, there was tigers at Radhakund. So you imagine 5,000 years ago when Krishna lived in Nandagram. That's why they live in the mountaintops. Because tigers live in a deep, dense jungle. And the mountaintops, there's not much forest. And so that mostly the mountaintops are rock and minerals. And so that's how all these settlements in this wild area of UP. I mean, there's, you know, animal sanctuaries and lions, Secunderabad. I mean, Bihar and UP are full of jungles. And they're actually full of lions and tigers and everything, especially tigers. So they had these high places where their villages were. So he would go out with Krishna Bala with big pots of modaka to give to the sages. He's in Brajavati Chintamani. A very sweet meditation. It just says that it's talking about Nanda Baba. Nowadays, oftentimes we have these am toffees that we give to the sadhus wherever we go, and they kind of smile, but they laugh, and they like it. Because every sadhu is like a child at heart. And oftentimes when you meet a sadhu, a saintly person, no matter how old they are, 40, 20, 30, 69, they're very childlike. Their innocence, their simplicity in their behavior and their mannerisms and their surroundings, but they may be representing the deepest conceptions and deepest tattva, and may be strictly austere and ferociously detached, but at the same time they have a soft side, a very soft and gentle side, the sadhus. So I guess they like the modaka, they like the candies. So all these things are arranged here for the feast. Sabarupare diya tulisi manjari dhyane vasilena anibare gorahari. After putting a tulsi manjari in each preparation, this is preferred to a tulsi leaf actually, if one has. I'd wait to sit down and meditate and I'm bringing gorahari there. So this is swagatam. Prabhu Kripya Sokatam Guru, when one worships the Thakurji, then he invites him for seva, snan patra, to take snan or the bhog mandap or whatever. Prabhu Kripya Sokatam Guru, O Prabhu, O Mahaprabhu, O Sri Krishna Prabhu, Mahaprabhu, like this. Then he meditates, swagatam, welcome, come. Idam asanam, idam snan vedi asanam. Please sit on the snan vedi so I can bathe you. This is bhog vedi. Bhog vedi, the platform where they'll sit down, raised platform from the floor where they sit down to take prasad and nandagan. There's some raised, it's kind of like Japanese style furniture. They don't have chairs, they have tables. It's called vedi, it's a platform. They don't have like we have this modern Western thing of chairs. They have mats. You can read and go into Lilamrita. They set down the cushions in front of the raised platform. So this is a type of architecture they had. Very simple. Just platform just a few inches from the ground. So it facilitates serving and eating. And it's the best posture for digestion is to sit cross-legged. But now we're so modern and fancy, we don't know anything. Even Krishna knows the basics of that. He's setting the example. And he's the son of a king. Nanda Maharaj is the king. Ekeshwara Prabhu Aisena Yena Mate E Mata Mane Dhyana Karena Dwete. I'd wait to meditate in such a way that the Lord would come alone. So he's in his whole meditation, he's bringing the Lord there and per his sankalpa that he would feed the Lord alone without the sannyasis, he's meditating that way. Because our meditation can become reality depending on the intensity of our meditation, the purity of our heart, and the reciprocation from the Lord. So that's what dhyan, or meditation, is there at every step of bhakti. Shravanam kirtanam smaranam. So even when we're chanting nam, or chanting japa or kirtan, there must be smaran there. In some way, meditate on the meaning of the holy name, meditate on the form. The form is represented, the name, the form of the holy name is represented by your Ishtadev, the Thakurji that you hold dear. So then you'll meditate, you'll chant and meditate on that form, meditation and visualization. So when the name opens up and reveals its mercy, then one will actually see that the object of his visualization, he's thinking and trying to, in his mind, actively see Radharaman and chant. Very beautiful form of the Lord, Sakshat Krishna. And then sometime we'll chant the holy name and we won't feel that I am meditating. From the holy name we'll see the Lord. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in Harinam Chintamani. Now we close our eyes, it's a forceful meditation. We're trying to visualize as a form of meditation, but then there's realization where the holy name gives that form. As soon as you sit down, you only have to try, the form is there. Then qualities manifest in the form. So he's meditating in a particular way, and he's meditating on a lila. What is the lila? The Gauranga comes here and has bhojan lila, takes bhog here. But I want to serve the Lord alone. It's like when Krishna also meditates on the rasa dance, or he meditates on some pastime. He's thinking, oh, I hope Radharani. He's meditating on Radharani. When's Radharani going to come? And the other sakis automatically come. Or he sees the other sakis, he says, oh, where's Radha? And then sometimes Radha comes to Radhakund, and the gopis hide her in a kunja. Then they're going down by Manasapavan Ghat, where they usually bathe. And they're just playing and singing. And then Krishna comes, he's very anxious. Where's Radha? Oh, she didn't come today. So Tila kept her home. And Krishna starts to break down. Oh, she didn't come. And he with his hands on his head and he starts crying. Oh, why couldn't she come? And then they spin some story about why. Ladies are good at that. you know, creating very wonderful stories. So men also, I can say, but so then they, he's feeling very dejected, and then Brinda Devi just passes by nonchalantly, and she whispers in Kshama's ear, "Radha's here, just follow me." And no one noticed. Brinda Devi just kind of goes, "Oh, she must be going out to do some service." So Krishna's crying, and then all the gopis are they're actually playing with Krishna. They want to increase. The gopis, the sakis, and Lalita, everyone, they are Radharani Sakhi Manjari, Sakhigan. They want to see Krishna begging for Radharani. They want to see Krishna serving Radharani. They want to see Krishna begging for Radharani, praying for Radharani, serving Radharani, meditating Radharani. And they want Krishna to be in anxiety to meet Radharani. That will increase his attachment, increase his pleasure. If something is difficult to attain, then the, like Prabhupada said, what's a glorious victory without a glorious fight? If you fight some opponent in boxing and it takes 1 hour and you finally knock him out, boom, then it's like, you don't know which way it's going to go. So in Krishna's pastimes, he's often brought to the point of exasperation. And then the gopis will let him off the hook. Okay. So then Brinda Devi saves the day. So that he's also meditating. When Krishna came to Radhika and Radharani wasn't here, and Subal came, and Krishna was deep in meditation. He was meditating on Radhakund, and he was meditating on a particular kunja, and he was meditating on meeting Radharani in that kunja, which he met Radharani before. But by actual circumstance, she was locked up. She was in Yavat. She couldn't come out. And Krishna is deeply in meditation. When will she come? And Subal met him and said, "What's that?" And then he came out. He was crying. He said, "Krishna, why are you crying?" And he came out. "Radharani's not come. It's long past our meeting time. I don't know where she is." "Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen her. I heard maybe she's at Yavat. She didn't come. So I'm just sitting here meditating on Radharani. And if Radharani doesn't appear soon, I think I'll just lose my life." So then Subal goes, that's Subal Vesh, where Krishna, Radharani is Subal, Krishna Milan. Radharani disguises herself as Subal, and then she comes and meets Krishna. So now, Satya Gora Chandra Dvaitara Ichamai, Ekeshwara Mahaprabhu Karila Vijay. In fact, by the Ichamaya, by the desire of potency of Dvaita, who is, of course, Mahavishnu, Sri Gaura Chandra did come to his house alone. So, of course, we can't imitate the pastimes of the Lord, but sometimes, and especially in Gaura Leela, we can find instructions that are suitable for us to follow. And some of the Leelas of Lord Chaitanya and his activities and experiences are only to be worshipped and to be meditated on and understood to the extent of our adhikar. And his confidential experiences in Gambhira, we can't start rubbing our face on the walls of our kutir or something. We don't imitate. And he, like some people say, "Oh, Swarup Damodar Goswami, and 1 o'clock in the night, and 12:30, 1 o'clock, Lord Chaitanya is so much missing rasa dance, the full moon is rising over the moon, it's shining in Gambhira in the small windows, and he's so much feeling separation from rasa dance, Maharasa dance," and then starts crying. And then at that time, Swarup Damodar starts speaking Gita Govinda, because it's Vasant Panchami, Vasant Purnima. And so then he starts speaking, or in other moods, Lord Chaitanya's in other moods, he's just thinking, "Oh," because Lord Chaitanya is Krishna experiencing the mood of Radharani. So the bhavas and moods. So one of Radharani's bhavas is Purvarag. Purvarag. How she felt before she met Krishna. What kind of that separation. Love before meeting. Purva, prior. Rag. That intense attachment. She heard Krishna's name, Shyam. Like we sang that in bhajan. Shyam. "Oh, this name has entered my ears. What? This name is making me crazy." So then, at that time, seeing that Mahaprabhu was interested to experience and understand Radharani's Purvarag, then Swarup Damodar would sing songs from Chandidas. He has a group of songs about Purvarag or Vidyapati. and this way nourish Gauranga's Purvarag. So we go, Lord Chaitanya. So we're Gaudi Vaishnava, we're following Lord Chaitanya. So we should sing the songs of Chandidas and Vidyapati. Maybe at some point, at some time, if one is really advanced, because this is all, these songs are so high, we can sing and have some distant appreciation. But it's all about, it's Radharani talking to one Sakhi to revealing her heart. So this is Lord Chaitanya, this is the confidential aspect of Lord Chaitanya, the internal reasons. We are not following Lord Chaitanya to relish his ecstasies. We're following Lord Chaitanya, Shikshastakam, Trinadapi Sunichena. So that's where we would draw the line until we come to the level of bhava and prema, where we can actually experiencing the rasas of these high songs. Then it's better we sing Sharanagati by Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Siddhi Lalasa and so many bhajans which are given by Bhaktivinoda Thakur as the essence of the whole Gaudiya Siddhanta from the Sambandha all the way to Prayojana. So now the point I want to draw here for us, aside from that preliminary explanation, is that here's, in one sense, Advaita Acharya, he sees himself as a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, as a Mahavishnu, and he's always serving the Lord. And he has a service that he wants to offer to the Lord. And he's meditated deeply on his service, he's performed the service. Now he wants to offer the service. But he wants to offer the service in a particular way. And he knows that it's going to be very difficult to offer the service in this way to his Lord. So then he says, all right, but this is my Ichha Shakti. Of course, his Ichha Shakti is called Ichha Maya. In other words, it's completely saturated. Maya means saturated, made of. His full energy is behind his Ichha. So now, Krishna, you can say, Lord Chaitanya is reciprocating with his meditation, reciprocating with his sankalpa. And then Lord Chaitanya, as Krishna is making all arrangements, Lord Chaitanya sent Indra there to create the storm. The storm didn't come independently, because everything happening in the Leela of Gauranga or everything happening in the Leela of Krishna is by his Krishna's Ichha Shakti, by his will. And then the Acharyas explain all that, especially in Krishna Leela. There's so many commentaries that Krishna deliberately angered Indra. Why? Well, to remove his pride. Okay, that was done. And to pick up a new name. Okay, he picked up a new name, Govinda. But primarily, he did it to be with the gopis for 7 days continuously. It depends on your angle of vision, according to what kind of tikas you'll give on the Govardhan Leela. if the coward, if some Sakiras guru, he said, oh, he wanted to be 24 hours with the Sakas. And there was so much interacting with them, and they were putting their sticks up, and they said, Krishna, invest you. So they'll emphasize this whole aspect. So, but the point is that everything in Braj Leela, Gaur Leela, is about the loving exchanges and the satisfaction of Krishna and his devotees. That's the whole purpose. So in Gaur Leela, how much Gaurahari loves Advaita, and how much Advaita. So he knows Advaita's heart, he knows his meditation, he knows his sankalpa and Ichha, his desire. So then the Lord makes perfect arrangements to fulfill that sankalpa and desire for pure seva. So this, each devotee who sincerely serves the Lord, he will also see, oh, I want to serve the Lord in this particular way. And I don't know how it's possible. It seems impossible. I need to get this or that or this or that. It's like you were with Murli. And Murli would have a desire to serve. He was an expert in the Sringar seva. And with his deities, Radha Madan Mohan. He's not here now. He's gone there. So he would have intense desires and unbelievable things he would like to do for his deities. And then they would arrange. Someone would come and give the money, someone. And anybody that lived there with him, they would observe these experiences. And Prabhupada's life was all, once he said, oh, we're having so much difficulty with this Bombay property, Mr. N. It'd be good if Mr. N would go to his next engagement. Prabhupada said it would be good if Mr. N would go to his next engagement in Juhu Beach. And that very night, Mr. N went to his next engagement. And those that know, know. And those that don't, we'll try to find out. His next engagement was in another body, so now I think it's good. That's pretty clear. So here's an example. Prabhupada had a desire to build a beautiful temple for Rasavihari and on the kaffir powder sands of the banks of the Yamuna, relocated Nava Vrindavan in Juhu Beach. We have Nava Vrindavan outside of Dwarka and Lalita Madhav. So this is Nava Vrindavan in Juhu Beach. And those powdered camphor, the sands of the Jamuna, glistening under the moonbeams, and they're soft and fragrant like powdered kapoor. This is in the Ananda Vrindavan Shampoo. So his meditation was fulfilled. So you can see by this, you can see the power of sankalpa, endeavor, sankalpa, meditation, and icha. Sankalpa, I set my mind, I want to make this arpan, this offering to the Lord. Then there's meditation, endeavor and meditation, then intense desire, focused desire, then the Lord reciprocates. These are the elements we see here in an amazing way. And although I was citing the example of this one devotee who had great love for his deities and his followers, but every individual devotee who renders service to the Lord, he sees in his own life how the Lord makes wonderful arrangements to fulfill his desires for service. And Vaitacharya is showing that. And because Gauranga Mahaprabhu, he knew everything of the heart. He knows everything of the heart and minds of his devotees. And he has all energies and all powers, all shaktis, prasya shakti vividaya shriyate. So he'll never let his devotees down. So let's find out what Lord Chaitanya is doing. Did he get lost in the hailstorm? Did he get lost? Everyone else got lost. He's a sannyasi. They're sannyasis. He went to perform noon duties. And his noon duties in other places, it says, every day at noon he would go and he would bathe in the Samudra, and then he would go to Siddhabakul, and he'd meet Haridas Thakur and say, how's everything doing? Then he'd come back and take his Jagannath Prasadam or go for his Madhukari in some house. So somehow, did he find his way back? Hare Krishna, Bali Prema Suke, Pratyaksha Hailasi Advaita Sammuke. Gauranga Mahaprabhu was chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in ecstatic love, Prem Suk, as he came before Advaita. He just lost, floating in the waves of Prem. And there's waves in the ocean and Puri, and there's waves on the shore. The ocean in Puri, the Bay of Bengal is tossing with waves, and the heart of Lord Chaitanya is tossing with waves, and the waves fall on the beach at Puri, and the waves of Lord Chaitanya's oceanic love are falling everywhere, wherever he glances, wherever he moves in Puri. Can you imagine someone arrives at your doorstep, 7 feet tall, beautiful golden form, Prem Sukhe, relishing the happiness of divine love, chanting Krishna, the Radha Govinda Yuga Mantra, Radha Krishna Yuga Mantra. Sambrame Advaita Pada Padme Namaskari. See, this is the point, that how dull we are. There is one devotee, gentle Brahmin in South India, maybe in Sri Rangam, I believe. And he was a Rangaji Brahmin, but he was not a Panda or a Purohit or one of the Pajaris. But he had Guru. He took his Diksha there in that line, Ranga. And his guru said, you should read the Bhagavad Gita. So he did, but before he read the Bhagavad Gita, he would look at the cover. See Parthasarathi Krishna, the chariot driver Krishna, and then he would see Arjuna, and see Krishna holding the reins and driving the chariot. And he would just look at this and think of this painting and meditate on this, and somehow he entered deep into that painting. He was following the order of his guru. His guru said, you read every day the Bhagavad Gita. So he read every day Bhagavad Gita. And then when he finished, he closed the book and looked at it. Because he followed the order of the guru, then the guru gave him Siddhi, Kripa Siddhi. And the proof is Kripa Siddhi was experiencing bhavikars, transformations of love, simply seeing a painting and breaking down crying uncontrollably with genuine tears of bhav. We can say bhav. This is the fruit of his seva, of his humble, simple seva. The sincerity, the purity of his heart. He was mocked. He was jeered at. Oh, what is this simple seva sitting there? Or is he sitting in front of Rangaji, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, lying down in this, this Rangaji is Raghunath, they say, is Vishnu, Ramchandra. You've seen the darshan? There is three doors when you go there. It's a really long deity lying down on not the shesh. It appears to be it's Mahavishnu, actually, because there's a lotus flower coming up, and there's three doors, and that instead of one big door, they have, and you go look at one door, and you see his head, and you go to another door. It's like he's lying. He's 25 feet long. I saw. And lotus is there, and there are many. It's quite Rangaji. So it appears there's Mahavishnu lying on another shesh, but it's Raghunath, you know, Rangaji is. So that's his delight, his play. So Lord Chaitanya, of course, came and embraced him because he was. So what the point I want to make, I'm trying to make, is that he just saw the picture. So if we can just see this picture, the words are a picture. So we can see Lord Chaitanya comes before Advaita. He arrives at his house. You know, we have paintings, we see paintings to help us meditate. But our mind is also a canvas. Our mind is a canvas, and the words are the paint. The words are the paint. The words of the shloka are the paint. And the paintbrush is in our hand. The paintbrush is our desire to paint that lila in our mind. So on this, you can take this one pastime and chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and try to see the Vaitacharya. That's the practice of meditation. At the level of praying, there's something called Sotosikhi meditation, where you chat and the name just throws you into the river of Leela. Like you say you may be sitting on the bank of a river and meditating on a little whirlpool near the bank. There's a whole river is flowing by. That is one little whirlpool, one little lagoon. That's called mantra upasana. You're just meditating in one like yogapit. Yogapit meditation is called mantra upasana. Or just one piece, one scene is like mantra upasana. So that's practice, but then even at the level of bhava, they do mantra upasana. And then imagine you're looking at this lagoon or this whirlpool in the banks of the river, then someone pushes you in the river. Then you start going down. Oh, what happened? As soon as you enter the river, you flow. So in prema, when one chants the holy name, Sotosikhi, he actually enters Astakali Lila through his, when he does smaran, he's taken into the name, he meditates and chants the name, it takes him into the Lila. He's just flowing. That's why they say, don't forcefully meditate, keep chanting. But it's not forcefully meditating, but you're practicing to meditate. There's no harm. And Prabhupada wrote that letter. Someone said, Prabhupada, should we meditate on Krishna's pastimes when we chant japa? It's in my Art of Chanting book. It's a letter from Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, this is the goal. We must strive for this. So a goal, there's a goal, and there's striving. Striving means endeavoring, working. So my goal is to make a lakh of rupees. Every year I save 10,000. So maybe in 10 years I'll have a lakh. There's goal and there's endeavor. Prayojan Abhideya. So he said, this is the goal. So that goal will be in one's hand. That goal will be attained of chanting Krishna's name and remembering leelas automatically at the level of bhav. Leelas. Given leela, you chant and you'll see. And that's like one particular lila. That's mantra upasana, maybe small. But the whole gamut of Astakali lila, to actually fully enter that, that's it. Higher into bhava and prema. That's Sotosikhi. Because then you have Ekadash bhava, then you have your identity, you have your eternal service. You got your Siddhadeya and bhava. So that, now you have that, you want to enter the lila. So this is I'm thinking this is each one of these, so many beautiful scenes here, especially Gaur Lila, because Gaur Lila, just to hold Gaur Lila in the mind creates so much purification. Because you can't make offense when you're approaching Gaur Lila. The Radha Krishna's Lila is such that there can be an offense, because in Radha Krishna's Madhura Lila, we're presented with the dualities that bewilder us. Dualities of gender. They bewilder us. Men are bewildered by women, women are bewildered by men. So this duality, when we approach, there's a great chance for aparad. Although we hear and we read and we become greatly purified by that, but to fix our minds on, you know, Krishna, you read in the Krishna book, in the Rasa Lila, Krishna touched the thighs of the gopis. He touched their faces, hair, thighs, and breasts. Okay, I'm going to sit, I'm going to meditate on Krishna. Maybe it won't be so auspicious if we have some vikar, some transformation in our mind, or some not very pure. And that type of meditation, we may think, oh, let me do this, but one should be guided by his bhajan shiksha guru, someone that's guiding him to go forward properly. But Gaur Lila is no side effects. it's like aspirin. Everyone can take aspirin. Children, babies, everyone. Maybe half an aspirin, baby, but Sambrame Advaita Pada Padme Namaskari Asana Dilena Vasilena Gaurahari. Gaurahari has arrived at the luncheon engagement alone. Haribo. All the sannyasis are lost. They got under. It said under. They went blind. Just see what fantastic Krishna arrangements Krishna can make to fulfill our desire to love him. If we have, and look at Prabhupada. Prabhupada had an intense desire to love Krishna. Oh, Krishna wants his name taken every town and village. I want that. Prabhupada said, my only claim to fame is complete faith in the holy name and the order of my guru. So his guru said, take the holy name to every town and village. That's what Gauranga told his followers. Bhaktisiddhanta told Prabhupada, you're an cultured person, you know English language, you should preach in English speaking countries. Take town to town in English speaking countries. Bhaktisiddhanta set the example of going town to town in India and also sending his, he didn't want to leave India because he had such a mission here and such vital work here. And his capacity was such that he could contact the greatest, highest brains of India. And so his leading sannyasis, he sent to Belgium, Germany, England, and they spread the holy name there. So this is, now he's there. Advaita offered respectful obeisances at Lord Gauranga's lotus feet. Then he offered a seat on which Gaurahari sat. Bina sanga kehanahi ishvara keval dekhi advaita hoila anande bival. Seeing that no one else had come with the Lord, Advaita became overwhelmed with ecstasy. Bina sanga kehanahi ishvara kevala dekhi advaita hoila anande bival. He became bewildered by his own by the bliss. I can't believe it. He's alone every time he goes, because it says elsewhere in Chaitanya Bhagavat that every single day in Puri, Lord Chaitanya was visiting a home of Grihastha during the 4 months. Outside of that, he would get Mahaprasadam from Kashi Mishra, would send Jagannath Mahaprasadam, or maybe Govinda Das or Kashishwara Pandit, maybe cook something. But during the 4 months, when all the bhaktas came to reciprocate with their intense loving desire to please him and cook from their Grihasthas, and Grihasthas means wives and husbands. And this time frame, 500 years ago, more of the men were cooks than women. Raghava Pandit, cook. Advaita Acharya, cooking. Sita Devi, of course. And Sachimata, cooking. She's famous. Jagannamata, Sachimata. And Janamamata. That's there. But also, 500 years ago, there were great men cooks also. And so, Lord Chaitanya wants to reciprocate with them by taking their offerings for 120 days, 4 months of the year, he would visit a different house in Puri, taking Madhukari. and sometimes come back, maybe the same houses. And everyone was so anxious whether the Lord will come to their house. And there were more than 120 devotees there that came from wherever, Shikanda and Shantipur and Navadvip, Mayapur. So they had a lottery system, I don't know. But they were their Adhikar, their Bhagya. But all of them made preparations to bring to, and like Raghava Jaili, Raghava Pandit and Damayanti, his sister, brought big bags of boga from Panihati and a year's supply. It said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was eating those preparations of Damayanti for 1 year and Raghava Pandit. So they weren't the only ones. Shachi Mata sent preparations. Sita Devi, everybody bought preparations. So even those that didn't get the personal opportunity to, personally host Lord Chaitanya in their Puri homes, he would eat their offerings throughout the year. So this is a miracle before the eyes of Advaita. Oh, I can't believe my eyes. Each devotee has his private treasures. Each devotee has his private treasures of reciprocations with his Ishtadev, which inspire him and in times of lassitude and encourage him to go deeper and deeper into the practice, deeper and deeper into bhakti. So that moment to moment he feels the living, moment to moment, a devotee wants to advance to a platform where moment to moment he feels the loving presence of his Lord. Moment to moment he feels the personal loving presence of his Lord. Now the Lord sometimes seems so close, but most of the time he seems so far. And when he comes so close that you feel moment to moment you're with him, then even then he creates a feeling of separation. Because you're with him moment to moment, but that moment that your eyes blink, you curse the Creator. And gopis and Rasalila, they're with Krishna moment to moment. But then they blink their eyes. What is this? This moment I'm not with Krishna. Oh, this Creator, this Vidata is a dunce. He's a fool. He doesn't know what he's doing. He created fish, and fish have no eyelids. What is a fish looking at? A worm. Not much to see. Not very sundara. Not very beautiful. And we're gopis, and our eyes are made to feast in Nayanotsav. Our eyes should enjoy the festival of seeing Krishna's beautiful, sweet form and face in Madhur Mukh and Madhur Rupam. Rupa Madhurya Krishna. But somehow we have to blink our eyes for one truti. It says ek truti. So then they weren't happy. So then Krishna arranges that to intensify the separation. So even when you're moment-to-moment meeting with Krishna, and you're also moment-to-moment anticipating separation or even experiencing separation, which is beyond our understanding. Right now we just want to feel the presence of God in our lives. And we're trying, and the best way to do that is always stay close to Him. If you're always close to somebody, you'll feel their presence. And what's the best way to stay close to Krishna? Then everyone knows. His holy name is Krishna. Nam, Rup, Gun, Leela, everything. So he's a very happy person right now. He's overwhelmed with ecstasy. So how does he express his ecstasy? Does he start rolling on the floor? Kicking his heels, running around the block? Does he sit down in a chair? How does he express his ecstasy? He's in ecstasy, Anand Vival, bewildered, besides himself in ecstasy. But how does he express that? Harishe karena patni sahite sevan para prakshaliya dena chandana vyanjan. He and his wife, Patni Sahite, they harish karena, harish, with great happiness, they washed the feet of Gauranga, offered him sandalwood pulp and fanned him. Chandana Vyajana, Dena Chandana Vyajana. So this is the idea of receiving a guest, of course, in the Vedic way. Cool the feet, walking. Lord Chaitanya is doubtful whether he wore shoes. Can't say that we have some, what they call karang, these wooden shoes they have in the Gambira, they say they're Lord Chaitanya's shoes, so possibly he wore those wooden shoes. We can rather take that. We know that Krishna didn't wear shoes in Vrindavan. So maybe Puri being slightly different than Vrindavan. Mayapur is Sakshat Vrindavan. So maybe in Puri you wear shoes. In Mathura, Krishna wore shoes. In Dwarka, Krishna. But in Vrindavan, no shoes. So we might think that Lord Chaitanya in Mayapur didn't wear shoes. But the only evidence we have is there's some shoes. And I haven't read anywhere that he went barefoot. So then he washed his feet. Just walking is it's refreshing to wash the feet with cold water. That's actually very physically good, and it's a sign of etiquette. And sandalwood pulp on the forehead, and they found him. Lasilena Gora Chandra Arande Bojan Advaita Karena Parivation Apane. Gora Chandra then happily sat down to eat, and Advaita began to serve him. So it's all about seva. It's all about seva. He's meditating seva, cooking seva, greeting seva, serving seva. And then he's so blissful. Jateka Vyanjana Dena Advaita Harishe Prabhu Okarena Parigraha Prema Rasi. Mahaprabhu accepted with love whatever vegetable preparations was joyfully offered to him by Advaita. So there's no restriction here. He didn't say, just give me some simple vegetables and rice. Jateka Vyanjana Prabhu Bojana Karena Sakalera Kichu Kichu Avashi Adena. Garunga would leave a small portion of each vegetable preparation uneaten. Why is that? Advaitera Gora Chandra Balina Hasya. Kene Ede Vyanjana Janahatumi Hayaha. Gora Chandra then smiled and said to Advaita, Advaita, do you know why I am leaving these remnants on my plate? And wait, just waiting. No, why? I'll tell you. Jateka Vyanjana Kai Chahi Jani Bhara Ata Eva Kichu Kichu Adiya Sabhara. Mahaprabhu said, Advaita, I left a portion of each preparation behind because I want to see what preparations I've eaten. So if he comes with seconds, he'll say, oh, I had that one. He wants to sample each new one. And then he'll collect them all on his plate and then decide which ones are his favorites and maybe emphasize that one or specify that one. Hasya Balena Prabhu Suna Acharya Kotaya Shikila Eta Randanera Karya. Garunga smiled and he asked, listen, waiter, where have you learned to cook all these preparations? In other words, it's a very wonderful way of complimenting something, someone. A little bit paroksha about it. He's not like saying, "Oh, you're really a great cook. It's fantastic." He said, "Where have you learned this? Where have you learned such preparations?" In other words, in the tone of the voice, the way he said it, Mahaprabhu said it in a certain tone of voice, indicating that these preparations are out of this world. Where have you learned? Is this just God? Krishna manifested these in your heart by spurti? Or how? What is it? And then he says, Amita e matakabu nahi kai shak sakali vichitra jata karijacha pak shak. I've never eaten before such shak. Whatever you have cooked is wonderful. Vichitra. Sakali vichitra. Anjata Dena Sri Advaita Prabhu Sabakai Bhakta Vancha Kalpataru Sri Gauranga Rai. Prabhu Sabakai Sri Gauranga Rai. The Lord ate whatever Advaita offered, for Lord Gauranga is like a desire tree, fulfilling all the desires of his devotees. Bhakta Vancha Kalpataru Sri Gauranga Rai. No doubt about that. Jata Dena Sri Advaita Prabhu Sabakai, whatever Advaita Dena, whatever Advaita gave, then Gauranga Mahaprabhu Kai, Sabakai, Kao, he ate everything. You know, Sanamrita Pal, Radha Krishna, we say, Shadi Ravaji. So this Kao, so Bhaktivancha Kapaturu. This is Gauranga Rai, he fulfills the desires of his devotees. That's interesting when you think about this, because and his pranam prayers to the Vaishnav pranam, it says, Vancha kapatru vyascha kripa sindhu. They say, O Vaishnav Thakur, O Vaishnava, You're a couple riksha. You can fulfill my desires, my vancha kapadru. You're a kapadru. You're a wish-fulfilling desire tree. And often we've seen that also, that what are our desires? Our desires are for peace, happiness, love, realization of God. And the Vaishnavas fulfill that. They bring us the gifts that we hanker for, life. Vaishnavas give us the gifts which we hanker for, life after life. Vaishnavas freely offer us the gifts which we struggle hard life after life to attain. We struggle hard life after life to attain happiness and love and relationship. Happiness and a loving relationship. And then fulfillment. And what to speak of realizing God. Those pious few people in the age of Kali. So Vaishnavas give all these gifts freely. A tree doesn't charge money for its apples. The man charges out money. The tree doesn't charge any money. Hey, why are you picking my 5 rupees? Deposit here. But you go to the fruit wala, who's the fruit tree gave the fruits freely, easily, tasty, nourishing, satisfying, no charge. So the Vaishnava, there's no charge. It's a free. So that one level, the Vaishnavas are coupled through, and now another level. Vrindavanas Thakur, Vedavyasa Gaur Lila, he's saying that Gauranga Mahaprabhu is a Kalpatru for the Vaishnavas, for the Bhaktas. It's a very interesting point here. So the devotees, they fulfill the desires of all the conditioned souls. And the Lord fulfills the desires of all the devotees. This is how I see it. And it can be seen different ways, no doubt. Shastras are open-ended like this. But you can't deny that. What I said, so that the because we oh Vaishnava Thakura, you know, please Kripakuru, I need your mercy. I need your mercy for what? To fulfill my desire, to realize God, to attain what I want. So you're Vancha Kapa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu. You. I don't know about God. I know about you. Kripa Sindhu, Bhayavacha Patitanam. You're my Patita Pavana. Okay, Patita Pavana. Gauranga Mahaprabhu, or Jagannath, Patita Pavan, Thakurji, Jagannath, or Patita Pavan, Maha Patita Pavan, Nitai. But the Vaishnava is also categorized there. Vancha Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavaniya Patitanam Pavanibhyo. You know, Patit means fallen. Pavan means purifier. You're a purifier of the fallen. That means the Vaishnavas fulfill the desires. There are a couple of truths to fulfill the desires of the fallen souls. But then who fulfills the Vaishnavas' desire? Can you go to a fallen soul, you know, please bless him with attachment to the holy name? No, we pray the holy name. We pray the Sri Nam Prabhu. And Guru or any Nam Sadhaka who is fixed in Nam. But this is nice. Bhakta Vancha Kalpatru Sri Gauranga Rai. Sri Gauranga Rai is like a desire tree fulfilling all the desires of his devotees. That's our only hope. We have two. Generally, if you're lucky, if you can find one couple of riksha tree in your life, if you find one. But a Gaudiya Vaishnava has two couple of riksha trees, at least two categories. One is Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He has three couple of trees. He has the Maha Mantra. He has Gauranga Mahaprabhu and he has the Vaishnavas. Shiksha Guru, Diksha Guru, they're Kalpatru, fulfill your desires. Dari Dugda Gritta Sar Sandesha Par Jatadena Prabhu Sabha Karina Swavikar. Swavikar. Gauranga Mahaprabhu accepted the yogurt, milk, ghee, cream, sandesh, and whatever else was given by Advaita. When Advaita invited Gauranga Mahaprabhu for lunch, Mahaprabhu said, just make me some steamed vegetables, a little plain rice. And then, this sounds a little different now. Yogurt, milk, cream, sandesh, whatever is offered. Bhojan Karena Sri Chaitanya Bhagavan Advaita Singhara Kari Purna Manas Kam. In this way, the Supreme Lord Sri Chaitanya took his meal and satisfied the desires of the lion-like Advaita. Purna manasakam. Now, that would be wonderful. If every desire in our mind can be purified by feeding Gauranga. Everyone's off making offerings. We have deities, we're feeding Gauranga. Even if we have Giriraj or we have Radha Krishna, then we also worship Gauranga. And we offer manasik seva to Gauranga and Guru, Guru and Gauranga. Bhog and Artik, everything. And then our Thakur, or we have Gauranitai. This is such a dynamic depiction of the interplay of Advaita Acharya playing the role of a das, a servant, a devotee of the Lord, and Gauranga Mahaprabhu being the Lord himself, Supreme Personality of Godhead. The dynamics of love. It's on the outset, it looks like, well, it's just a luncheon engagement. What's the big deal? And I was thinking, you mentioned the other day, how is it that this is a book of the deepest philosophy about Gauranga Mahaprabhu's life and teachings, the golden avatar for Kali Yuga. How come there are so many pastimes about eating? What's the big thing about eating? Everyone says ahara nidra maitun bayam. These are the basic material needs and necessities of every living entity. So that's part of your siddhanta, and your toughest siddhanta is eating. So yeah, it's a spiritual eating and a spiritual lesson to be learned. It's love. Because the ultimate teaching of Gaudiya Vaishnava, why, it's an interesting point. You can ask, because you can read philosophy, Tattva Siddhanta of other Vaishnava Sampradayas, you won't find so many pastimes about eating or cooking preparations or whatnot. Because this whole idea of bhakti, Gaudiya Vaishnava, is to give Krishna prem, Braja prem, gopi, the Braja prem of the gopis of Vrindavan. And the gopas, the intimate servants of Krishna and Vrindavan, distribute that love, especially this Madhura Bhava, the gopis and Radharani. So in that context, because it's Nara Leela, and in those exchanges of love, as you mentioned, to give prasadam, we see all through the pastimes of Lord, of Krishna and Krishna's Leela books, there's so many gifts being given. Yashoda is sending whole wagons full of gifts to Jatila, and this gift and that gift. There's all kinds of gifts. And then Krishna grows a pearl garden, and he makes pearl necklaces. Ultimately, he puts them in boxes and gives them to all the gopis. There's many gifts after a long, long stretch of their minds. But when it's all said and done, he really gave him a hard time. They came to buy one necklace, and it's Mukta Charita Leela. He said, I won't give you one pearl. Because when Krishna asked him on Gopastami, he asked the gopis, well, can I have some old pearl necklaces so I can decorate my cows? I have to worship my mother, the cow. She's a source of our life and sustenance. Are you crazy? You're asking for pearl necklaces for the cow. Next thing you're going to ask pearl necklaces for the monkeys and for the dogs. And then Krishna marked that. So then, is that shot? And then Lita said, listen, you're correct. We're not going to give you one pearl from our collection. So then Krishna says, all right. Because, of course, Krishna, his father is Nanda Maharaj. But there's also some idea that his father may be Vasudev. So, in Mathura. So Vasudev is a king. So king, one of the qualities of kings is revenge. Acha, you insulted me? You insulted me? You didn't pay your tax? You didn't get... Acha. Well, let me see what I do to you. So then Krishna went back and he sweet-talked his mother, Yashoda. And he said, I want to plant pearls. And he said, don't tell your father, but here are some pearls. So Yashoda gave him so many pearls and he planted them in that place we saw. Where was that? Motikund or something. Anandagram. I mean, it started here in Malihari and it went from here to there. And his backyard he planted. And millions of pearls came up, different colors, fragrance. They had different colors, and they had fragrances. Then Krishna just started stringing pearls, offering them to the cows. And he remembered, oh, Subal, remember, the gopi said, you're asking us for pearls for the cows, and you're going to come next week and ask for the monkeys. Subal, let's give to the monkeys. So Krishna, just despite the gopis, he gave pearl necklaces to the gopis. And then the dogs and everybody had a pearl necklace. They said, Radharani, Krishna's got a huge pearl crop. And he's decorated all the cows with necklaces. Oh, yeah, we should have given him some. And all the monkeys and all the dogs, peacocks, everyone in Vrindavan has pearl necklaces except us. Oh, sure. Well, let's go buy some. We have money. I'm a princess. I'm a queen's daughter. Rishabhanandani, let's go buy some pearls. So they collected so many gold coins, everything. They went there. And then they set up a market, a pearl market, Moti Bazaar. And there was Subal there, Mother Mongol. And they said, so Radharani was a little back, and she sent her agents for purchasing, you know, Lita and like that. First they said, they're also a Kshatriya's daughter. Radharani is a father, is a Vrishabhanu, is a Gopa king. So then she said, Acha, you made so many pearls. Okay, Gopis, we're not going to stand for this. We're not going to be one-upmanship. He's not going to defeat us. We'll make our own pearl garden. So they got all their pearls that were given to him as dowry and everything, and they planted them all. And they're watering them with ghee and everything and yogurt, so much special preparations. Then it came up, spreading sprouts, boom, 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 like this. And they're all babul trees, only thorny bushes and trees, and nothing on them. So then they were in a real fix. Because the next big engagement that came up, you know, Durga Puja or whatever, they have to go to their husband, they have to wear all their pearl necklaces. And they wouldn't have any. They didn't have one pearl necklace. That the jewelry that their husband gave them and that mother-in-law and everybody, it's like, it's gone in the ground. It's a very dangerous, embarrassing situation. And they're hoping that Krishna will save the day. Hey, Bhagavan, Mahabaho. So they went to him and said, please, you know, save the situation. I heard you have thousands and thousands of pearls. Can we buy some? No way. I won't sell you one pearl. And Krishna was really hard, and they came back several times. They would go away and have some discussion, then come back and make different presentations. And so we'll give you 1 lakh. He said, you can give me 1,000 lakhs. So then they went away and said, this guy is ridiculous to deal with. So then finally, some of the coward boys, because they're Priyanarmasakas there in Madhura Bhav, so they said, you're really being hard on the gopis. So then they made some suggestions, and Madhu Mangal said, why don't you make a nice gift box? Like Valentine's Day, you get a gift box. So then they made a gift box, and then they put the name of each gopi on the gift box. It was full of pearl necklaces and bracelets and earrings and everything. So that's how the story ends at Krishna. I mean, we heard many lessons from we were discussing about this luncheon engagement. It involves meditation, sankalpa, desire to please the Lord. And the Lord, our Lord Krishna and our Lord Gauranga, they're eating lords. Although he took sannyas, he's a sannyasi, and they're supposed to eat this one handful. They beg with two hands, and one hand is their stomach. If there are two hands are full, they give one hand worth of the collection, the bhikshu, to the living entities, to the cows or monkeys, whoever they see. Please, Madhukari, and they give something. Then they go and they give this down and they sit by the waterside and eat the one hand. This is the niyam for a sannyasi. Very restricted eating. Lord Chaitanya followed that strictly. He went through Jarikhand, he only ate roots and leaves, like what you call it, wild shock. So he's satisfying the devotees. Purna manasakam. All of the desires in his mind were fulfilled by Sri Chaitanya Bhagavan. Sri Chaitanya Bhagavan Purna manasakam. That's the fact. He and he alone can fulfill all the desires of our mind. Purna manasakam. We have so many desires. And we don't even know how many we have. We thought we had so many, the new ones come up all the time. It's like an endless crop factory, desire factory. Anantakal. Yeah, but I'm just saying that for endless time, the mind is producing desires. So Krishna, he's not so easy to avail ourselves to. Gauranga Mahaprabhu has come in. He's the Lord of Kali Yuga. He's the benedictor of Kali Yuga. He's blessing us that we attain his Lord. Gauranga's Lord is Krishna. Very interesting paradox. Gauranga's Lord is Radha and Krishna. So to get that ultimate perfection of Radha Krishna Prem, then we must get the mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Nitai Gauranga Guru. Then and only then, and in that way and only that way, will all manasa, purna manasa kam, all the desires of our mind will be filled by one and one alone, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavan. It's very interesting that he's calling him Gauranga, he's calling him Prabhu, he's calling many different names, and all of a sudden out of nowhere, he's calling Sri Gauranga Rai, Sri Gauranga Rai, Prabhu, and now all of a sudden the name Bhagavan comes in. Because Bhagavan has been fulfilling, it says in Isha Upanishad, Bhagavan is describing Vishnu, Isha Upanishad. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of God, Lord Vishnu, is a self-sufficient philosopher who's been fulfilling everyone's desires since time immemorial. This is the English one verse, which I don't remember. The self-sufficient philosopher who's been fulfilling everyone's desires since time immemorial. This phrase struck me and it somehow stuck in my mind. And then we have that Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Eko Bahunam Yovedadati Kaman. This is from Rig Veda or something like this. Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. Among the eternals, there's one supreme eternal. Among all the conscious living entities, there's one supremely conscious living entity, Bhagavan, Sri Krishna. Eko Bahunam Yovedadati Kaman. Eko Bahunam. There's one echo who's been fulfilling the desires of everyone. That's Krishna. That's Bhagavan. This is the meaning of Bhagavan. Because if you turn to Maya to fulfill your desires, you'll be cheated. Maya is very tricky because Maya makes it look like your desires are getting fulfilled. And simultaneously, she creates the illusion of fulfilling your desire and creating more. You don't see that part. Oh, Maya has fulfilled my desire. This is very nice. No, but then at the same time that Maya fulfills desire, she creates more. But Srinvatam Swagata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtana Vridyantaksta Yabhadrani Virunoti Sarita Satam. Krishna, he is fulfilling desires of the devotee, those that are suitable for him, those that are. Krishna is using some discrimination in fulfilling desires of devotees, just as a parent. A father will use discrimination in fulfilling the desires of his son or daughter. They want, Daddy, I want this. No. I give you this. I want this thing. I want a machine gun to take to school. No, I won't give you that, but I'll give you a water pistol to shoot your little sister. So shoot your little sister. Don't take a machine gun to school. And you know those kind of things that go on. So he uses discrimination. So Gauranga Mahaprabhu and Krishna himself, they use discrimination. They fulfill. Yes, it's a fact that Krishna, kama moksha, you know, no matter your desire, whatever you have desire, no desire, kama sarvava, moksha kama, you approach Krishna, fulfill desire. But if you're a devotee, then he's very selective. Oh, this is not a good thing. Why are you desiring this? I'm not going to fulfill this. So then sometimes people complain. Oh, I approached Krishna, he didn't fulfill my desires. I'm going to Shiva. Because Shiva's indiscriminate. Shiva's indiscriminate. He's Ashutosh, indiscriminate. Easily pleased. And he gets him in trouble too. He blesses these different nefarious demons with ill-motivated demons. And he doesn't know, he's Saralata, he's called Bola, Bolanath, Bam Bam Bole, you know Bam Bam Bole? Bolanath, Bola means innocent. He's, and if you ask, Shiva, look what you did, you gave Brikasura this blessing to crackheads. What? I never thought, he's simple, Shiva's a very simple personality, he's so powerful. He just sits under his tree, you know, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram. He just meditates on Sankarshan, and Adi Sankarshan. Chanting Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram. It's in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. There's so many places describing Shiva's character and dress and everything. So these people come to all this, about to cut their heads off. Vrikasura is about to cut his head off. He's offering his flesh into the fire. Okay. Swaha, oh no, swaha. Nothing's happening. He's just turning into ashes, his flesh. He says, oh, what's the point? Might as well just offer my head. So then, he has something with heads, it seems like, Vrikasura. So then he's going to cut his head off into the fire, and Lord Shiva comes right out of the fire. I said, what are you doing? They said, well, you weren't responding, so I thought I might as well offer my head and see if that attracts your attention. He said, no, that's cool. What do you want? Relax. Tatastu, bhavatu. I don't know if he said exactly that, but he said, bhavatu, tatastu. And then he said, actually, I want the power, whose ever head I touch cracks. Of course, Tony, it wouldn't be much use in Kali Yuga. Because everybody
has a cracked head.
Has a cracked head. I'm glad you got my drift. So he would be out of business. He wouldn't be able to have any fun around here. He'd have to go to another universe to crack a head. But at least in Krishna's time, people still had their heads in one place. And let's say it was Krishna's time, because it's in Krishna book. Apparently it was around 5,000 years ago. Or it could be from even previous times, because the way the Bhagavatam is told, the chronology can shift. But it is said that Krishna manifested, and wherever yuga, we can assume it's this yuga, Dwapara yuga, whenever yuga. But the essence of the Leela is Shiva got himself in trouble, and Krishna bailed him out. He killed the demon, Brihasura. So therefore, the conclusion of all this is that Krishna is very selective and discriminate. Purnamanasakam, he fulfills our desires, and we have so many in our mind, but those good desires, Advaita's desire was good, it was pure, it was transcendental. I want to cook for the Lord and please the Lord. And he did everything he could to make it perfect. And then he meditated on the Lord. He thought, well, it's not enough just to do the external service, I have to meditate also. You see how the mind and body are working together here. And everywhere this is told in devotional line, our mind and body must work together. Because the mind is a key point of engagement. So he performed his services with his senses and his body, cooking, collecting. His wife was assisting him also cooking. So then he meditated. Oh, the Lord is coming. So a devotee does the same thing. He makes an offering. He prepares an offering. Then he sits down and meditates. You ever hear Mother Sachi? Mother Sachi, she made an offering. This is the niyam for someone making an offering. So she had a family deity of Narayan, Chaitanya Mishra's deity of Ahogsija Narayan, and a shalagram she's worshipping. And then when she was worshipping, she was meditating on Narayan and making the offering. Oh, please accept this offering. She's meditating. Because you go in and you offer Tulsi and Ganga Jal and the preparations, chants and mantras, then you come out of the altar. If you ever see, then usually pujaris will come out and they'll chant Anik and they'll meditate, especially in noontime. And then they'll meditate on the mantras and also meditate on that the Lord's coming. Just like if someone is cooking, a sadhaka is cooking, any particular time of the day, then he thinks, well, what Leela is about, right? What Leela is happening now? This is afternoon. Oh, if he's cooking in the morning time, then he's thinking, he's actually meditating. I'm in Nandagaon, and I'm in the kitchen with Radharani, and I'm assisting the cooking, and then whatever I've cooked now, I'm offering, and Krishna's taking. He meditates. The mind is supposed to connect us to the Leela. And this, and these senses and body, we engage in many activities as Swarup Siddha Bhakti, which we'll do there, hearing, chanting, remembering Archanam. These things go on there. There's Archana means worshipping the personal form of the Lord, feeding him, cooking, dressing, bathing, and hearing, chanting, remembering. All these four limbs are there, and Vaidhi Marg and Rag Marg, in this world and that world. Are the gopis doing Archan? Sure. Shringar, they're Radharani directly dresses Krishna, and Mandri's dress and bathe him. So this meditation is a very, very important aspect. So the time of the day, then we'll meditate. We're cooking in the evening. And then we'll meditate in Nandagaon on Krishna's evening meal, and then that this is being offered there, and he's coming to take this. So we'll stop there. Chaitanya Bhagavat Ki Jai. Yeah.